I don't know if you've ever been to the theatre or not, but often such places have a curtain that separates the stage from the audience. But when the show or the concert is about to begin, the curtain goes up, as they say, and what was behind the curtain, what was unseen, is now seen, and what was invisible has now become visible. Here in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read about a curtain. Not a curtain in a theater, but a curtain in a temple. The Jewish temple in the city of Jerusalem at the time of Christ. The temple was a huge building, maybe 4 or 5 stories high. And the main part of it was divided into 2 sections. One was called the Holy Place, and one was called the Most Holy Place. The holy place priests could enter into, and inside it were the 7-branched candlestick, the menorah. There was an altar for burning incense. There was a table on which were 12 loaves of bread, the bread of presence, they were called. But then the holy place was divided off from the most holy place by a candle, by a curtain. And in the most holy place, the presence of God was believed to dwell. And only the high priest could go into that most holy place behind the curtain on one day in the year, the day that's called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And that's the place that only he could go in. Nobody else was qualified to go into that place. And this structure of a temple with 2 rooms, a holy place and a most holy place, divided by a curtain, was given by God to Moses way back in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And here in Matthew chapter 27, as we read the record of Jesus being crucified, this curtain reappears. And we are told in verse 51, at the moment, the precise moment, that Jesus died on the cross outside the city. Inside the city, inside the temple, the curtain of the temple was torn in 2 from top to bottom. The question is why? What did that signify? What was that message that was coming from that torn curtain? What does it mean for you and what does it mean for me as we consider it today at this Easter Sunday morning service? The titles will come up here on the screen as I just bring out 3 very, very simple messages. First of all, the curtain in the temple between the holy place and the most holy place said, keep out. God was screened off from the people, if you like. There was a curtain, a divide, a drape, huge symbol of the separation between sinners and a holy God. You remember Moses before the burning bush, and the voice of God was speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And as Moses went over to see why the bush was burning and why it wasn't burned up, the voice from the bush said, Moses, do not come any nearer, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. In other words, Moses, keep your distance. Moses, keep out, keep away, keep back. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So keep your distance. As it says in the book of Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God, for our God is a consuming fire. So the curtain, the message of it was, keep out. But then secondly, the curtain was torn, we are told, from top to bottom, Matthew 27 and verse 51. Just at the very moment the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, this tearing of the curtain took place. And the message from that, I believe, is no longer keep out, but God saying to the people, come in. Come in. You're welcome. The curtain, just to rewind a little bit, was maybe 60 feet high, somewhere between 40 and 60 feet high. 4 or 5 stories in height of a modern building. And a curtain that high, for it to have been torn from top to bottom, was a statement that this wasn't a man tearing it, this was God tearing it. If there had been a man tearing this curtain, maybe cutting it at the bottom with scissors and pulling it apart, it would have happened from bottom to top. But when we're told this curtain was torn from top to bottom, it was a statement that God was doing it. This was God opening the veil, God splitting the curtain in two, God making a way for sinners like you and sinners like me to be saved. And the point is that as it happened at the very moment the Lord Jesus Christ died, what God was saying was that what Jesus was doing on the cross was the means of opening the pathway, the door to salvation. No one can just barge into the presence of God. Hebrews 10 says, we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and the living way, which he has opened for us through the curtain, that is to say, through his flesh. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. His flesh was ripped and torn so that a way could be opened. The curtain could be torn back into the presence of God. The hymn writer puts it like this: he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. So the tearing of the curtain says to sinners like you and the sinners like me, come in. God has made a way. You couldn't have made a way. Your good deeds can't make a way because they're not good deeds. They're tainted by sin. So they're even they are not good. But God has opened for you the way in. So draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Hearts sprinkled clean and bodies washed with pure water. Come in. There's a famous painting of a soldier running across a battlefield in the First World War. He has behind him a spool of cable, telephone cable, days before mobile phone signals, of course. Communications had broken down, there's shells flying overhead, there's explosions, and this man is running across the battlefield with a spool of cable so that the different parts of the army can be connected again because they can't hear the orders that are coming through from headquarters. The artist who painted that painting, you can look it up online, he named the painting Through. T-H-R-O-U-G-H, through. Running through enemy fire so the contact can go through. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. His death put men and women, boys and girls, young people through to God. This was no mere historical event, though it is that. His death on the cross puts us through to God. Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, says 1 Peter 3, verse 18, that he might bring us to God. This is how you get to God. He brings you. You don't bring yourself. Your family can't bring you. Your minister can't bring you. Your church can't bring you. He brings you. So come in. Trust him. Rely upon him. Look to him to bring you through. So So the message of the torn curtain is keep out initially, then come in, and finally stay close. For listen again to what it says in Hebrews 10 after talking about the torn curtain. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Think what Jesus did for the disciples when he rose from the dead. He fellowshiped with them. This is what I said to the children. He fellowshiped with them. He went into the upper room where they had gathered behind closed doors, and he appeared in their midst. He walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he taught them the Bible. He went up into Galilee, and he had a little bit of a charcoal fire going, and he supplied them with bread and fish for breakfast. He fellowshiped with them. And that's why Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as is the practice of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God's people meeting together Sunday by Sunday, faithfully, regularly, without fail, is a means of grace. So stay close. But as well as fellowshipping with them, he fed them, yes, bread and fish on the Galilean seashore, but he also fed them the bread of life, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is the bread of life, the word of God. And as those disciples on the Emmaus Road listened to Jesus teaching from the Old Testament the things that were fulfilled in the Psalms and in the prophets and in the law, their hearts burned within them. Burned within them. They were so warmed by what Jesus was saying. Jesus also fired them up. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The risen Jesus now testifying that his kingdom is not to be a localized parish kingdom, but the world is his kingdom. We have a gospel to proclaim, good news for men and all the earth, the gospel of a Savior's name, to sing his glory, tell his worth. The man unlike any other man, the man worth more than all other men and all other women put together. We have a gospel to proclaim. But he also forewarned them. There will be suffering. He said to Peter, when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. In other words, the mission will have its difficulties as well as its delights. But he also forewarned them about a second coming. This Jesus who was taken from you will return. In the same way you have seen him go up into heaven, you have a good future, in other words. You have a glorious hope. As I close this morning, I am thankful. I am thankful for the message of the torn curtain. Keep out. Reminds me I'm a sinner. Come in. Reminds me of the grace of God. Stay close. Reminds me of the life of faith. If you're not saved today, come in. You're welcome. No matter what you've done. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Blatantly betrayed him. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Never seen him before. Never heard of him. Denied him 3 times, but Jesus forgave him. And he'll forgive you. And aren't you thankful that we're no longer orphans. We're members of the family of God. We're fed his truth. We fellowship together without fail in the Lord's day. And we long for a second coming. And ultimately, we have the hope of seeing the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as John says in 1 John, we shall be like him. We'll become, in other words, what we were always meant to be. God made a perfect world. We were always meant to be perfect. Sin has marred us. But on that day, we shall be like Jesus, restored, ransomed, healed, forgiven. The message of the torn curtain, it's speaking. It's speaking. It's speaking to me. It's speaking to you. Are you listening? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incident recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We thank you for its significance. We thank you for its importance. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for its voice speaking to us even today, so many centuries later. But Father, it's pointing us to that death of all deaths, that death of Jesus on the cross. And today we just are rejoicing that he is no longer dead, but he is alive and alive forevermore, giving salvation to sinners like us. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied to us that we each, Lord God, might know this grace for ourselves and enjoy the presence of Christ forevermore. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.